112.
This week on the Beer Coasters podcast, we don our hemp gear, slip on our Birkenstocks, and go organic with Deschutes, Otter Creek, Fish Brewing, and Snake River. Hey, pass that hacky sack over here.
Let's crack it.
We've all been kicked in the face by hops, too.
Less beer is not what I wanted to hear.
Beer in one hand, smartphone in the other, you're never drinking alone.
This is not a science class.
Yeah. Be quiet, Gina. Be quiet.
Hola, bitches.
Oh, it is the Spanish version of the Beer Coasters podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Beer Coasters podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bring you the best and worst in American craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. That's right. You're hearing me. This is Chris in Dallas, Texas.
It's not just a little soundbite saying,
no.
I'm cheating a little bit.
Yeah. And I'm actually not cheating this week either.
Wow.
Nice.
This is incredible.
Joining me, as always, or at least as always when I'm here.
Yeah.
Is.
Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
It's Chuckles. Chuckles is joining
Chuckles
you.
Chuckles McGee.
And Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And for this week's show,
I'm just so
on Beer Coasters
3.0,
issue number 112, we are
peaches
going. We are becoming hippies once again and doing the organic style, or at least the
only hippies drink organic beers.
That's right. So all of us shopped at Whole Foods this week and picked up our beers.
This is a fermentation conversation.
For our fermentation that we're going to open up here in about 30 seconds, Deschutes Green Lakes Organic Ale. This is from Deschutes Brewing out of Portland, Oregon. Website is www.deschutesbrewery.com. The style of this beer is an amber ale. ABV of 5.2 with an IBU of 45. Quick interesting note, this has been certified organic by the Oregon Tilth organization.
Tilth.
And it is brewed with salmon safe hops.
Ooh.
Now, I didn't know that hops were dangerous to salmon, so
me neither.
We're just going to assume that they are.
There were salmon.
Or salmon is dangerous to hops.
Yeah. And okay, and apparently we've changed some things, and now I'm forbidden to give you the Rate Beer rating and the Beer Advocate users rating.
You have been forbidden
of the review, so
no more spoilers.
We will crack it and pour.
No salmon were harmed in the making of this beer. Are we cracking it? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, but I hear the glugs.
Oh yeah, we're cracking it. Been cracked and glugged.
We should we mention to everybody what we're using? We're a little different this week.
we're trying something a little bit different as far as our production goes. We're actually using Google Plus and their Hangout feature to record the show this week. Normally we use iChat to interface with each other, and we're trying the Google Hangout, and so far so good. And we'll actually be talking in last call a little bit more about something special for you if you're a Google Plus user.
You're right there, Mike.
Yeah. I'm all right. It's funny because when Chris just said, you know, so far so good, when he said good, it got all scrambled audio like good. It's like, uh-oh.
I got about a half finger ahead. It's sustaining pretty well.
Yeah, I got about a finger and a half of nice, fluffy goodness.
It's
I had about two
copper
fingers.
Copper in color, and it's a little bit of redness.
It's hanging out.
I get kind
pretty
of a
clear
on the nose. Ooh. I get kind of a musty,
yeah,
woody, that funky, wet, malty.
Ooh, do you pick up on
graham cracker?
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm getting almost like a crack.
Yeah, there's a hop in there.
Like a stoned, like wheat.
It's definitely...
Yeah.
It's definitely more malty than it is hoppy, though.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. And what did we say what style this was?
It was very organic. It's an amber.
Yeah.
But by all fairness, I know I just got done saying that there was more malt than hop. It still has a smell that's very hop forward for an amber.
There's a little bit of citrus.
Yeah.
Yeah, very. Mild citrus, like.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Well, it's been a long time coming, and I really want to take a sip. So.
Okay.
So.
Taking a sip, yeah.
I don't know if any of you know this or not, but when we're not doing the show, we're forbidden from drinking beer.
Yeah.
So I haven't forbidden. I haven't had a beer in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So not true.
Yeah. If anybody's seen us on Untappd, they know that it's not true.
Yeah.
This is
very palatable. It's malty, but it's not like super sticky malty, you know, like when you get into a lot of the ambers, how they tend to almost be over malty and a little too sticky.
This is extremely sessionable.
To me, it's really funny that you say that. Because that's what I was thinking. It's like a creamy ESB, like a little bolder creamy ESB. Because it reminds me of like an English style,
Light on the B.
Yes,
like it's not overly bitter.
Although ESBs aren't that bitter either, but they're much more maltier,
much more special.
In the finish, this does have a little bit of bitterness, like on the aftertaste on the tip of the tongue.
There was something I had just recently, one of my other tasting flights, that was very similar to this. It had that maltiness that I enjoy, like a light kind of malt forward beer that, you know, it's got really good flavors, but, you know, it's kind of, you know, that session style, something you can drink all night that's got some good flavor. And I can't remember what that style was.
Ambers tend to be more on the sessionable side, and good gateway beers.
But you can, a lot of times you can get an amber that almost gets into like lager territory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In regards to the sort of metallic-y.
Definitely. Most cases, ambers.
Cold filtered.
You'll see amber lager and red ale. Now, why they do that, I'm not sure. Right, it's probably the, you know, less confusing for us Americans. But
this is much more of a red ale than it is an amber lager.
Yeah.
So
I really like the, it's got an extra creaminess that your normal, you know, red ales
don't seem to have. What it is. That's exactly what I was trying to explain, is that it's more of a, there's more of a creaminess than there is a crispness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't have the lager crispness. It has more of a mellow, sessionable creaminess to it.
I just poured out the last few little drips there. It's really clear too.
Yeah. Not bad. Very nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to pair a cheeseburger and garlic fries.
Nice.
How about that?
I don't know.
Garlic fries seems like it would overpower this a little bit too much.
I think that yes, this is a very mellow beer, but I don't know.
Like O'Brien's.
As long as they're not too heavily O'Brien's garlicky, garlic fries. You know.
Mm.
Oh, soon, O'Brien's. Very soon, O'Brien. I'm going to go with a salad with a nice creamy blue cheese dressing.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Okay. I'm going to go with, it's so kind of,
by the way, all these foods that we're pairing with so far are organic, right?
Organic, that's right. Yes.
Organic blue cheese.
Okay. Yes, of course.
Okay.
I want to go with fish and chips. I know it may be kind of a boring pick because I've done it quite a few times, but it's more of kind of a sense memory thing for me.
So, in case you're wondering, because we didn't cover it at the beginning, Beer Advocate users give this a B+, nothing from the Alstrom brothers. Rate beer rating of 85 out of 100. With that.
From coast to coast. And now it's time to hit the road with Beer Coasters. Coast to coast. Yeah.
So this recording is from May 18th of 2011, so not too long ago. This is when I went down to Aces and Ales, and I sat down with Carrie Kelly, and I was also joined by Mr. Scott Wilkie from Deschutes Brewery. He's the market manager. So I asked him a few questions about Deschutes and distribution and his thoughts on the American craft beer industry. We did talk for quite a bit, so I may have to break this up into a couple different parts. So here's part one. When we do the show, I mean, we talk about this kind of stuff. We don't have, you know, the inside knowledge of a lot of how all of it works. You know, a lot of the stuff we get is from beernews.org, craftbeer.com, and stuff like that. So that's why I was saying earlier, like,
Well, I mean, especially from Scotty. I mean, getting with Scotty from Deschutes, I mean, I think it's awesome because you can really get the insight. You know what I mean?
A lot of questions that I've always had.
I look at the business from a different perspective.
And, well, it's, I mean, you got your more...
consumer retailer, though, too. I mean, I look at it from producer wholesale end of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, there's a... Once again, there's a whole litany of things that go into getting beer from its onus to its, you know, to the receptacle. You know, and that's a long road that gets it there. Once the road is paved, you know, once everything gets authorized and once you have a distributor selected and there's contracts and money and...
You know, I actually have a good question for you, Scotty. Let me ask
you
a
question. It is 14 inches.
Yeah. Hey! No, this is a serious question because I've never really asked another person from a brewery specifically about it, but maybe I'll ask Greg this weekend as well. But obviously the beers we carry here, which are typically more the specialty or rare beers, whether they're oaked or vintage or this or that, or why do they always typically for some reason make such limited qualities or quantities, let's put it that way.
A, they make it because they're limited.
Well, why? I mean, you could, you know, when you're a multi-billion-dollar corporation like Deschutes, I mean, you could barrel, you know.
Okay, I think I think 500
barrels of blah blah blah.
I think I can easily answer that. I think I can easily answer that.
I mean, you don't have to go, oh, every place can only have one keg. That's all we've got allocated.
Well, I
don't know the answer.
First of all, it's right in front of you. They're called reserve beers. Okay, reserve beers. In order to make the reserve beers, there's a lot of handcrafting that goes on. Now, we have one of the largest oak farms. Actually, we do have the largest collection of oak in North America, and that's 700 barrels. Not a lot. That's 700 barrels.
Barrels.
Okay, that's not a ton of barrels. Yet, it's the most in North America. That's to include Mexico and Canada, as well as the United States. That being said, in order to get to these reserve beers that people actually want, you have to make a base. Okay, so you're talking about, are we doing an imperial? Are we doing a quad? What are we doing? Okay, so you finally come up with that picture. Okay, so you're already talking some considerable expense. Okay, because you're using hops that you don't normally use.
Right.
Using technology you don't normally
use. To figure out what you're doing in general.
Right, and then you have to take that product once it's brewed. It takes 5-7 days to brew that product. Then you got to age it out. That all goes into oak. Okay, now us having 700 barrels, okay, which is, I don't even know how many kegs that actually equates to, because it's different when you're talking about oak. When you're talking about BBLs, brewer's barrels,
right, yeah,
that's 33 gallons,
yeah,
or 31 gallons. Okay, and then you break it down, it's 2 kegs,
per.
We use 13 too, so we actually get a little more out of it if we're talking about a BBL, but I still break it down into halves,
right,
just to make it easy on my own feeble mind. But then you talk about reserving a beer. Okay, so you're reserving a beer, you got to age it out. Something like the Abyss, for instance. We have increased the amount of Abyss we've made every year since we started making it.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Which
and
you
it's
should do.
Still
because,
not enough.
Because it's a great beer, right.
Indeed, but it's still not enough. We can't make enough beer to fill.
Well, why not anticipate as you see it growing 10, 15, 20, 30%? Why don't you just go, hey, let's make a 70%?
Because it's prohibitively expensive to do.
But you
it takes
know
a lot of man hours.
You know the demand is there, though.
I understand the demand is there, but it's almost physically impossible to do because, A, it's prohibitively expensive, and there's space involved. Because we're not just aging out of this. We got Dissident, which takes anywhere from 18 to 27 months. We got other beers that mix that we age for 6 months. We got the Abyss, which ages for 12. Six in Pinot, Oregon Pinot, and then six in bourbon. Okay, and that's, so you're talking about a lot of manipulation of a lot of beer. It takes a lot of man hours. And with, like, Jake Harper is our cellar master and our oak master. And Jake Harper could give you way better answers than I could.
Oops, my bad.
Oh, man, you got that? Again. Stop.
No, it did. Edit that. I guess that is a 39-minute cutoff. You got to start another one.
So, you know, it is blowing up. The craft world is blowing up all around us, and that's a good thing. It's in a good way. I think it's going to be a huge year for craft beer in general. I think what I like to call the, I hate to actually put a moniker on them, but I call them the NASCAR set. The NASCAR set of your Bud Miller Coors drinkers who happen to be fans of NASCAR. Okay? And they're going to, at some point in the middle of the summer, realize that Bud Miller and Coors have been pulling money out of something that is a huge American pastime. They're not going to see as much as they have. You're going to see more Monster. And you're going to see more Mountain Dew. And you're going to see more 10-pack cars and all of that stuff riding than you will Bud Miller and Coors stuff. I promise you that. And reason behind it, Europeans, Canadians, South Africans don't give them much a shit about NASCAR.
That's true.
You know, if the big American beer drinker really is the Buy American guy, he's going to stop being a big American beer drinker.
And they're not even, what they're drinking, and yeah, isn't even American beer anymore.
How is Billy Bob? Who is at the
Billy Bob doesn't listen to
who is at the Talladega 500, okay, or the Pocono 500 in the middle of July, okay, and he's kicking, and somebody finally enlightened him that what's going on, that Budweiser belongs to the Belgians. You know, this is a guy who drives a Monte Carlo, because somebody in NASCAR drives a Monte Carlo. You're talking about a set of people who will change the clothes they wear, the food they eat, the things they drink, the tobacco they chew, okay? And they do this, and they'll switch all of it if a driver switches a car. Now, I ask you, that same guy, you tell him that the profits from that particular beer that he's drinking is going to a European country that went bankrupt the day after that European country bought the brewery. Okay. How is he going to feel about that, man? This guy's Buy American all the way, man. He's got an American flag tattooed on his kid's forehead. Okay. Just saying.
And to me, there's nothing more American than craft beer.
There is nothing more American than craft beer. That's an absolute fact. Especially the most of the craft brewers that have been hanging on. Look at the guys that are all on top. Most of them are privately held. They never got involved in the stock market and became publicly traded and became part of that old snafu that happened 5 years ago when the country went tits up. Okay? I'm sure the idea has been entertained to the ownership of my brewery. Hey, you know, let me give you X amount of dollars and you can come work for me. And that has not happened. You know, I doubt very strongly it will happen because we're planned out to 2020. We're going to be brewing 1 million barrels of tasty beer by 2020. And that will be bravely done.
What are you guys at now?
Last year we did, hold on a second, 208,000 barrels,
wow,
which is 416,000 kegs of beer.
Is this, now you have the brew pubs.
Portland and Bend.
And you have the main brewery, which is in Bend?
Right.
Now that's what you're talking about, the 208,000 came from Bend?
208,000 collectively, between the two pubs and the brewery.
Okay, wow.
So brew one, brew two, brew three. The pub stuff is mostly R&D. That's where we come up with the Bond Street series beers, the reserve beers. You know, that's where the ideas of these beers generates. Then it goes to a whole other department and becomes a full-on, you know, like in August we have a beer coming out. It's a Belgian quad called the Stoic. Okay, it's gone through several different name changes for legality reasons. You know, it started off as one thing. Hey, well, that name was a 70s hair metal band. You know, whatever. You know, we can't do it. So it turns into the Stoic, which apparently nobody has. But, you know, name, you know, beside everything, it's just a going to be a goddamn good quad. We have a collaboration with Boulevard on the books right now.
Wow.
Okay, and I believe the name of that beer is called Chainbreaker, and it's going to be a white IPA, an IPA based on a wheat base.
So hoppy wheat, okay. Like hoppy wheat?
The way I understand it, and I'm sure it's very possible that this information isn't correct, but everything that I've been told is there's going to be two versions of the beer, the Boulevard version and the Deschutes version. The Boulevard version is going to be a low ABV, medium IBU, okay, so like a 5.5, 55 IBU beer, 60 IBU beer. Ours is going to be like a 9.5, you know, 69, 70 IBU beer. So it's going to be bigger. Ours is, our side is going to be bigger than their side, but it's a collaboration and joint release.
Wow. Why Boulevard of all?
Good question. I wasn't a part of that conversation.
It's crazy. I mean, because
they didn't call me up and say, "Hey, Scotty." Actually, everybody calls me by my email address. Hey, Swilkey, what do you think we should do? So I couldn't answer that. They're a great brewery. Boulevard makes them, you know, that whole Smokestack series was just kick ass.
That's right, they're the Smokestack guy. Right?
That was kick ass, dude.
Our guy
that wasn't just a good crap. That was a freaking kick ass beer.
Mike in Boston, he tried one or maybe two of the Smokestacks.
And this comes from a guy who's primary beer supporter.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can tell you that beer is it's a respectable fucking beer. Yeah, I'm also a big fan of many other breweries around. I'm a big fan of Maui. You know, I love the coconut porter. I'm a porter. I'm a malty guy.
Yeah.
That's my personal taste. If there's a malty side and a hoppy side, I'm so down on the chocolatey, malty, coffee, cigar, you know, kind of thing, as opposed to peppers and hops and pine and grapefruit. You know, I do like a good grapefruit every now and then. But yeah, what else you want to know?
And a big thanks to Swilkey for the interview, and his comments are not necessarily those of Deschutes Brewing Company. Stay tuned for part two of Deschutes Brewery's market manager, Scott Wilkie, in an upcoming show. Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
From the East Coast, this is Mike from Boston, and I'm going to try some Wallavers Certified Organic Alta Gracia coffee porter. Yeah,
I think it's Gracia.
Oh really?
I think it's I think it's Gracia.
Potato potato, pal. Gracia. It's Alta Gracia. That doesn't sound East Coast. Maybe somewhere down the Carolinas. Yeah. All right, so this is from Otter Creek. I've done Otter Creek. I've done a couple beers from them. They are out of Middlebury, Vermont. Their website is, if you want to find this beer, you go to wallavers.com, which is Wolavers. Unfortunately, their site is under construction, but there's a link to their Facebook page. So you click on that and get to their Facebook page. The interesting thing about this organic beer, and I know there's all kinds of reasons why some of these breweries do the organic beer. This one is they use Alta Gracia coffee, and this is part of their seasonal organic farmer series. I don't know if this one's still available. I don't know if they go. I think they go through different sessions for the organic farmer series. They have this one in particular is made with organic roasted barley, chocolate malts, organic vanilla beans, and what they do is the coffee itself, this Alta Gracia coffee, comes from the Dominican Republic, and it's like a farm community, so it's like it's a non-profit farm that works with these farmers and basically shows them how to use the tools and techniques to grow their own coffee. And then they actually get paid a what they consider a fair wage for it. So they teach them how to basically have a sustainable farm, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, dude, I watched this documentary about a year and a half ago called Black Gold. and it was all about the coffee industry and the sort of fair trade movement. And I tell you what, yeah. I buy fair trade whenever I can.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So we are getting all organic on your ass this week.
No, hippified.
All hippified deals.
It's so, just amazing how little of the profit and the money goes to the actual farmers. The people that actually do the work, that actually own the land, that actually grow the coffee, it's amazing how little of the money goes to them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
That's why Kona coffee is so expensive. Because it's in the United States, and I'm sure there's regulations and all that stuff, so I'm sure that's why they can charge more. And when you go to these different countries, you know, around the world, where they probably don't have those kind of regulations.
But I'll tell you, even the Kona coffee growers, because my wife's grandmother had, when she was alive, had a coffee plantation in Kona. And she made money off of it, but I don't think it was very much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry for the...
Yeah, I think I remember hearing about that one time. Did they let...
Hippie sidetrack.
No, it's okay. I don't mind. I'm going to, yeah. Hippies? No, I'm going to...
He saw Hacky Sack fly by and he was,
That was enough.
He was distracted.
The ABV on this beer is 5%. I don't have the IBUs, but, I'm going to crack it anyway.
All right. It's normally, if you don't have the IBUs, we don't crack it.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah, what's the point if you don't know how bitter it's going to be? I tell you what, I'm going to go with that philosophy. There's, if you taste it, then you're going to know if it's bitter or not. I thought it was interesting that it had vanilla beans. I didn't notice that before, that they actually have this with vanilla beans, so I'm kind of looking forward to this. I think I've tried this a while back. I just don't remember what it tastes like. Very dark. Deep, dark brown color. Can't quite see through it, but some amber, like ruby highlights kind of shine from the bottom of the glass when you lift it up. Very little head. I didn't pour that aggressively. It's kind of a thin film across the top. On the nose. Huh. Coffee. But a coffee and like tree bark.
Whoa.
Like it does that something to your nose. Like it's like that. Like if you break off a piece of tree bark, it's got that something about that, like that husk kind of smell to it.
Mm-hmm.
Husky. This beer is husky.
Smells like a little fat kid.
Yeah. wears tough skins. Husky size. All right. I'm getting a bit of vanilla in there. Some roasted malts. But there's a nice, nice coffee. Almost, it smells like the ground. You know, like you ground up the beans, because it has kind of a little bit of a powdery scent to it. I gotta take a sip. I can't wait.
Taking a sip, yeah.
It's coffee, and it has kind of a sweet bitterness, kind of like that, like a semi-sweet cocoa. And there's some coffee in there. It's very like mocha flavor. Kind of dries up in the end. It's got a nice sweet, it's kind of sweet up front and then kind of fades away, kind of bitter. Kind of dries up nice. It's actually got a really decent balance. Decent kind of little roasted, it's got a little bit of roasted roastiness that is enough to kind of balance everything out. It's good. It's almost like a session style coffee porter. It's not too big. All the flavors are there. Like all the flavors you want are there. I guess as do. I mean, it is like 5% alcohol. I noticed that some of these organic beers seem to be kind of on that lower end, a little bit more palatable with some of the lower ABVs. If I was gonna pair this with something, it may sound odd, but I'm thinking like a bacon cheeseburger.
Yeah.
It'd be good. I'm not quite sure why, because it seems odd. Like, why would you want a coffee beer with...
Well, you talked about...
Coffee, bacon...
Well, you talked about some of the, like, sort of chocolatey notes, the mocha notes. And so the sweetness with the saltiness of the bacon, that would go,
And that, I just, I mean, I'm taking a sip of this and I'm thinking, what would I want to eat with it? I'm thinking, you know, I think, what did I do it last week when I did the whole salty sweet thing? I think I did. I can't remember what it was last week that I paired it with. But
venison or something.
Yeah, like a venison steak, I think, with because the beer was had like a creaminess to it. Yeah. So yeah, that's the pairing. Bacon cheeseburger. And you can't go wrong with a bacon cheeseburger. I mean, that's a good pairing with just about any beer.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's any beer out there that exists that doesn't go well with a bacon cheeseburger.
Besides maybe like a you know, pecan harvest.
Chili beer.
Pecan harvest.
Yeah, chili beer, the pecan harvest might be kind of a tough sell.
Just pick any of Chris's beers, and you'd be like, oh, that does not go good with the bacon cheeseburger.
So if you get a chance to check it out,
spoiler for next week.
I don't know if it's a seasonal. Actually, it is a seasonal release. I don't know if it's still available, but if you see it, check it out. It's from Otter Creek, and it's called Wallivers, and Wallivers is their organic line of beers, and they're out of Middlebury, Vermont. Rate Beer rates this 88 out of 100. And the Beer Advocate users rate this a B+. And the Ahlstrom brothers have not tried this beer.
Losers.
So there.
Too bad.
Too bad.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Oh, sorry.
Whoa, I got some serious lag there.
You guys bore me. Are we recording?
And competing for who gets to show up on the Hangout.
So far, Chris is winning.
Yay.
Hangout big screen.
Okay, so this is Toby out west, Las Vegas, Nevada. I am trying the Fish Tail. That's T-A-L-E. Fish Tail.
Clever.
Organic IPA.
Better be salmon safe.
Better be.
I don't know, man.
Any salmon were harmed in the making of this beer, this is going to be a problem.
That's right.
PETA is going to be on beer coaster ass.
Ain't very organic.
This is Fish Brewing out of Olympia, Washington. They've been brewing since 1993. And yes, they are a... Cue the music.
New brewery!
Oh.
Fishbrewing.com. Styles an American IPA coming in at 6.70% ABV. With 42 IBUs. The hops are Pacific Gem, which are a New Zealand hop, and the malts are Crystal and Pale, all being organic, of course.
And Zed.
And it is certified organic by the Washington State Department of Agriculture, or the USDA organic whatever.
Whoa. Some serious audio funk going on there.
Somebody just kicked into warp drive.
She can't take much more.
So I'm going to crack it.
What the hell is he doing? Is he scratching?
I just realized where my microphone is. Error. That's weird. She shouldn't be able to hear that.
Well, you can.
I can hear it.
Because my audio is not supposed to be going through that.
Well,
so anyway. It pours out a orange, a light orange... kind of pale in color. Got about a half finger of head.
Whoa.
So on the nose, there's a nice hop aroma. There's a stanky, dirty malt.
Oh, yeah. The stanky, dirty malt.
Picking up on a little bit of a citrus hop. There is like a toasted breadiness. Yeah. It smells, I mean, if something could smell sticky, it smells a little sticky.
It smells sticky. No.
I'm all taking a sip, yeah.
I don't really want to know what your house smells.
Smelling sticky is kind of like feeling sour. Let me touch the sourness.
Hmm.
I don't know. No, knowing Toby, I don't want to know what smells sticky to him.
No.
It's very palatable. It's there's a nice like honey, there's a toasted grain,
so help me if you say this beer tastes like a sandwich.
No, just a sticky sandwich. Like a moon pie.
Like a moon pie.
It finishes with a little bit of a citrusy hop character. Not too hoppy. Yeah, it's actually pretty mild for an IPA. Being from, I don't know, like Washington State, you'd think that like West Coast IPA, you'd think it'd be really hop forward. I mean, there is, in the aftertaste, there is a dry bitterness on the sides of the tongue, which, you know, obviously makes you realize you're drinking an IPA and not an amber or a pale ale, but it's not overly hoppy. It's actually very, very sessionable, extremely sessionable.
Well, since the last beer had salmon safe hops, I think that fish aren't probably too keen on hops.
Hmm. Yeah, they're
and this is the
probably fish highly brewery, against so. Them. Yeah.
This is pretty tasty. For a food pairing, why am I thinking potato pancakes? This is weird.
Nice. I like that, man. Potato pancakes.
Potato pancakes with some sour cream.
Chives. The applesauce.
Chives. Applesauce. There you go. Well,
with the potato pancakes, you know, they give you like kind of like some apple type
medley
thing to have it. Yeah.
Have it for breakfast.
Sweet.
The Fishtail Organic IPA. Rate beer users gave this an 81 out of 100. Huh. The Beer Advocate users gave it a B, and the Beer Advocate brothers give it a B minus.
Beer Advocate brothers.
Beer Advocate brothers, man.
And now representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
Yeah, that's what you get. Welcome back.
I wish I could say that never gets old, but
it's almost new again.
Do you wish? Yeah, it's totally new again.
So for my beer this week, I am going to be drinking the Snake River Brewing Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan.
Huh? This is the
Obi, you're my only hope.
Obi-Wan from Snake River Brewing out of Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Website is www.snakeriverbrewing.com. Style of this beer is an English brown ale with an ABV of 4.9. Quick little interesting note. Snake River Brewing is proud to be the first and only brewery to be making certified organic beer in the state of Wyoming. It's made from 100% organic malt and 100% organic hops.
I'm sorry, Chris. I just want to say that I don't know how hard it would actually be to be the first in Wyoming for lots of things.
Yeah.
Sorry, no offense, Wyoming.
Hey, they use Teton Mountain spring water and an imported
Tetons.
Nice.
Tetons
are awesome, and an imported strain of English ale yeast. Alcohol content is 4.9. Yeah, so crack this bitch.
Oh, wow.
We're
insulting the state, and now we're calling the beer a bitch. Man, Wyoming's going to hate us. Do we have any listeners in Wyoming?
I don't know.
I hope so.
Any Wyoming listeners, send us backwash at beercoasterspodcast.com.
So I got about a finger and a half of tannish head. It's a very murky brown color. Not very clear. It's very cloudy. Maybe it just be the cold haze, though.
Mm-hmm.
On the nose, some very malty, toasty notes. Yeah, it's very malt forward. A little bit of bready biscuitiness.
Did you do one from them already?
I think I did something from them.
Snake River. Snake sounds, but I'm trying to think of this.
Ooh, and I've been there.
That's right.
Yeah, lots of bready, malty notes. Not a lot of hops on the nose. A rich earthiness. It's got a really weird color to it. It's kind of a grayish brown. Strange.
Well, that's weird.
You did Snake River on our farmhouse ale show. I knew it sounded familiar. I don't know why. not like I'm big into the Wyoming breweries.
Taking a sip, yeah.
It's got a very chewy malt. Like a...
Like, I wonder what it'd be like. Let me get a handful of malt. Just chew it.
That's exactly what it is.
Let's try some of that. New bar snacks.
There's not much hop in this beer. There's probably not supposed to be a whole lot. An English brown, but
like a nutty maltiness.
Yeah, it's got kind of a nutty, like a pecan kind of flavor.
That's kind of scary for you.
We know you love the pecans.
No, it's not quite like that kind of pecan, but hard to explain.
Oh, now I know where they get the name.
What is it? Organic something.
Organic beer number one. That was their first organic beer, I think.
Oh, I thought it was a Star Wars thing. Oh,
I'm sure it was. I'm sure it's supposed to be a Star Wars thing. You can't write that down and be like, you know.
Right.
No, I didn't get the connection. What?
It's funny because I'd seen it written before and I'd never said it until Chris said it. And I was like, oh, yeah. Obi-Wan.
And their next beer is like, you know, certified third organic pale, and it's a, C-3PO.
Certified third pale organic.
I didn't get it.
This has a very, like, German flavor to it. Like, a lot like a, like an Oktoberfest or a, more of a Munich style flavor to it.
Let's see what you get.
Marzen-esque, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of, and quite a bit of nuttiness to it. It's good. It's got some good flavors. I don't know how sessionable it would be, but yeah, it's tasty. So that's the Snake River Brewing OB1. Check them out at Snake River Brewing. Oh, yeah. Would I pair it?
See, that should have been on our Dead Man Sip No Ale show. Yep. For those of you listeners who haven't heard that, please go back and check out that episode. Would I pair it?
I would pair this with a really good beef stew.
Beef stew.
With some rye bread.
All right.
Oh.
I love rye bread with beef stew. Yeah, so rate beer rating of 38 out of 100, which, well, I told you at the beginning there weren't a lot of hops in here, so that was should have been obvious.
That's
beer advocate
true.
Raider, beer advocate users give it raiders.
Beer advocate raiders. Yeah. That's a new website.
That's what they are though. They're raiders. A B, and the Alstrom brothers also give it a B.
Help me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hop.
Wah, wah, wah.
Big time.
It's the tweet of the week. Tweet of the week. It's the tweet of the week. Tweet. Tweet of the week, yeah.
Tim Terrell says, I saw a bunch of dorks in line for Harry Potter while I was drinking beer watching The Troll Hunter. I stand by my choice.
Tweet of the week, yeah.
Time for some backwash. Let's check the Beer Coaster's email and hotline.
This is crazy, Dave. I just got to tell you guys that it's 4th of July, and we're tore up because we've been hanging out at Stone Brewing. I got some good news, though. They're going to be coming out with Coda Brewing, Ken Schmidt, and Stone Smoked Coffee Macadamia Nut Porter. I'm really excited about it. But anyhow, I just wanted to make some noise, make a drum call, and say...
Last call.
So here we are, friends, once again in our last call segment. Yes. Mike?
Yes?
Pint ratings.
Oh, okay. For my pint ratings this week, for the Deschutes, the Green Lakes Organic Ale, I really enjoyed that. I mean, if I could get this out here, I would buy it. I think it's a great session beer. I think it's a great beer to introduce to the newbies, so to speak, or the craft beer curious, as we like to call them, because it's just got a nice cream. It's the creaminess that I like about this one. It's got a really creamy, malt-forward character to it that I really enjoyed. Man, I didn't think I was going to give this to an organic beer. I'm giving this a 4. I really, really enjoy this one.
Why would it shock you that because it's organic that you're
giving it? I don't know. I think for me, there's still some kind of stigma attached to this stuff that I just can't seem to shake in my head that it's not going to be as good. But I know that's like, you know,
well, if anything, it's wrong, it could be better.
But yeah, you know, it should be. You know, it should be better because there's, you know, no extra crap or no pesticides used to, you know, grow the barley or whatever the case may be. And, you know, I mean, who really wants to hurt salmon if you don't need to? You know? Unless, of course,
unless
you're going
to eat them.
Which I should have paired my beer with salmon, but I wasn't clever enough to do it.
That would have been lox.
Yeah. But anyway. So I give it a 4. I actually, I really think it was a really well done beer. I'm pleasantly surprised. For the Wallivers, the Alta Gracia coffee porter, very, very well balanced. That's the best thing about it, I think, that it's very well balanced between the flavors, between the coffee, that kind of chocolate. You get a little bit of the vanilla in there. It wasn't a big, bold beer, but it had lots of flavor. I want to give this one a 4 as well. Nice. I really, really liked both of these beers this week. Surprised, because I just wasn't expecting it, I guess. I figured the Green Lakes was going to be kind of, you know, thin and, you know, not much to it, just kind of almost like a pale ale. I didn't even realize until, you know, I sat down to kind of look it up that it was an amber and whatnot. But anyway, so yeah, that's my pint ratings this week.
You know, if anybody knows me, they know I'm a supporter of the organics. Yippee. And I'm not going to let that affect my opinion on these beers, but the Deschutes, I mean, it's good. I think I'm right there with Mike on everything he said, except for I think that it was a little less on the malty side. It was malty. I think it was just malty enough. It wasn't too malty. It wasn't like your typical amber or red, where some of them tend to be a little bit more malty. And I'm probably saying this because I have the Alaskan Amber on tap right now at my house, and it's on the very malty side. Like, it's sweet, malty, very low on the hop side, very low on the bitter side, but very drinkable and all that. So that's what the Green Lakes had, all of that. It had the just enough maltiness, just enough hop bitterness, very, very drinkable. But I think 4 pints is a great rating for it. So
that's your rating as well.
I'm gonna go 4 pints. I'm gonna go 4 pints also.
Copycat.
The Fishtail Organic IPA. This was really good too. I mean, it's a very sessionable IPA. I wasn't expecting it to be as sessionable as it is, just because it's an IPA. I was hoping for a little bit more hops, but it ended up being pretty well balanced, very drinkable. But I think 4 pints is good for that one too. Very nice.
You're not torn, even though it's organic, but the fact that they use fishtail in the beer is not off-putting at all.
They don't put fishtails in the beer.
I thought my beers were going to taste like twigs and berries, so I was...
It's a fishtail. They talk about fish.
Oh, they talk about fish.
Right. Oh. It's a tail of fish, not a fish's tail.
No more fish story.
Have you ever observed fish before? Because I'd imagine their tails aren't...
Yeah, it's more like... what is it? Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming.
What do we do? We swim.
I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
All right.
All right. So for my pint ratings this week, the Deschutes Green Lakes I'm right there with you guys. I think it's an extremely sessionable beer. I love how balanced it is. Like Toby was saying, I don't think it's as malty as, you know, it could have been, which is a good thing. I think that it's, you know, when I talked about it before, when you think of amber, you think of amber beers, one of the first things that pops in your mind is amber lagers.
Yeah.
And you don't get that from this. This is very much an amber ale, so it's a lot smoother and creamier than that. Mm. So I'm actually going to give it 4 pints as well.
Wow. I like how this really had a beginning, a middle, and an end to this beer.
Yeah.
Like it dried up in the end, so it didn't stay like sticky sweet malt the whole time.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, nice, sweet, and creamy, and finished dry, and I like that.
It's a very well balanced session beer. Like you could sit, you know, on your back porch and have several of these over the course of a day. The Snake River Brewing OB1. I liked not as much as the Green Lakes. It's good, but it's nothing like out of this world extraordinary. I'm gonna give it 3 pints. Yeah, not a lot to say. I thought it was tasty, and it's very serviceable. It's not a bad beer by any means. You know, if I was in a bar and it was on tap, I'd order it. So. 3 pints.
I think it was on tap at a place called the Cantina.
So don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Untappd. Just look for the Beer Coasters Podcast and subscribe to us on iTunes and also on podcast.com.
Yeah. Speaking of .coms, check out our .com, our website, www.beercoasterspodcast.com. You can email us backwash. If you like what you heard on the show, or if you didn't like what you heard on the show, or if you're from Wyoming, send us backwash. It's backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. Leave audio backwash too. You can do that. It's a 339 backwash, no C, 225-9274. That number again is 339-225-9274. Also, have other cool things on our website, like the shop link. You can find your shirts and steins and stickers and things. Cool stuff. Check our website out. You'll dig it.
You'll dig it, man. And don't forget to tell your friends and tell your friends' friends about the show. And thanks for listening.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Aces and Ales, premium craft beer bar in Las Vegas, Nevada. With happy hours from 3 to 6 p.m. every day. With an additional happy hour from Monday through Friday from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. That's 50% off all appetizers and selective craft beers. Aces and Ales, wide variety of craft beer on draft and bottles. Make sure you stop by www.beercoasterspodcast.com to print out your free pint coupon. That's Aces and Ales, 3740 South Nellis Boulevard, Eastside, Las Vegas, Nevada. All killer, no filler.
And hey, they've got their, we've been talking about how we're going to start hyping this. This is the second annual Strong Beer Festival coming up. I believe it's August 12th through the 14th at Aces and Ales in Las Vegas. Check it out. It's going to be off the hook. Yeah. Crazy stuff going on, like 80 beers.
They have strong beers, and then they have stronger beers. It's really cool.
And also, they've got their second annual, or their second annual party coming up.
We'll talk about that later. Second annual, some sort of party.
Yeah.
A couple other things: support your local brewery, brew pub, etc. Drink local. One thing to remember: not this week, not next week, but the following week, and in next week's show we'll give you the date. We're gonna try to do a live Beer Coasters podcast. It'll be online. You will need to have a Google Plus account. We're basically gonna do a Google Plus hangout where you can come on and sort of watch us as we record the show. So anybody that's interested in that, we'll have more info on next week's podcast with our Google Plus Beer Coasters podcast account and how to hook that up. So
yeah,
keep an eye out for that.
Nice.
Just want to mention, you know, when you're out there supporting your local breweries and brew pubs, whatever, don't drink and drive, because that's just dumb. Call a cab, get a hotel room, get a ride home, whatever you gotta do.
And a reminder to all our listeners, this is your show. We're just drinking.
It's your show. We're just
cheers.
Drinking. That's right.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Last minute shout outs. I want to thank Crazy Dave for giving us some backwash. We always appreciate the audio backwash. Yeah. It's very entertaining.
And I want to give a shout out to Carrie Kelly. I didn't give him a shout out last week. Thanks for helping me out with the interview. And yeah, man, more to come from Carrie Kelly.
Thanks, guys.
And, cool. Cheers.
Glad to be back. We'll see you guys next week.
Cool. Yeah, shout out to Beer Coaster Chris.
No salmon were harmed in the making of this beer.
I actually have a good question for you, Scotty. Let me ask
you. It
is
14 inches.
Yeah.
Hey! Husky. This beer's husky. So help me if you say this beer tastes like a sandwich.
Help me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope.